Nick Cooper, Jeffrey Wigner.
Morning, guten tag, bonjour, welcome to Melting Pot, sound and colors from the planet Marseille, today June 18. As you heard, Ed Cooper can speak French now. He opened his show at L'Olympia in Paris, the last show from his long European tour with Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, with one of my favorite songs, The Way I Made You Feel. That song was not usually in the set list. I know that Ed had it for me. Thank you, Ed, for this nice present. I was very touched. But at Olympia before the show, I gave my audio recorder to the sound engineer to be used at the desk. And for strange reasons, the recording is not very good. So to illustrate this interview part 3 recorded in the Tiergarten at Berlin with Ed, I propose to you to listen to other live recordings. The first one, Horse Underwater, during the show at the Tempodrome, and then two other extracts recorded at the soundcheck at L'Olympia. First, Rainy Night, a new version slightly different from the other version I played in a previous podcast. And to finish, Everything I Got Belongs to You, maybe a romantic song, who knows? I hope you like it. Now?
In a different part of the Tiergarten. A very nice garden with very nice flowers, nice lavender and some very beautiful trees.
You are happy, not too much sun?
No, it's okay.
Okay. We can continue the interview?
Oui.
Which period we were? You are recording with acoustic instrument, you told me?
Oh, that was a long time ago, yeah. No, we went way past that. I don't remember exactly. I think all of the records that I did in that period of time between 1990 and 1997, where I recorded a lot, all of the records are sort of slightly different to each other. I can't remember how many I recorded, but I think it was about 12 or 15 or something. And
which year it was?
Between 1990 and 1997. And it was a very productive time, and I like a lot of the recordings that I did in that time.
It was the Magic Mile is with this about this period?
Yeah, yeah. Most of the songs on Magic Mile come from that period. Some of them a little bit later than that. Some of them go up to 2000, 2001.
And can you tell me a little about your experience with the sound during this period?
With the
experience with the sound.
The sound. Well, I was spending a lot of time in studios because I was recording so much, and started getting interested more and more in. On some of the recordings, using the studio as a part of the songwriting process, and I was sort of doing that for a while, and then got to a certain point, and I don't know, I just stopped. I found that inspiration had dried up. I wasn't sort of feeling all that good about playing, and so I pulled right back from doing anything, and it took quite a few years to sort of break that sort of downward spiral.
During that period, you already thought you are a musician, or you are really another man?
I always thought I was a musician, but I also accept that, you know, I think it can happen that you just get to a certain point where you can't do it anymore. That happens with a lot of people. And that's what I felt, that I'd arrived at that point, that I couldn't really keep going. I didn't think that I was writing anything that I liked. I wasn't enjoying playing live particularly. So it was sort of necessary, I guess, just to sort of get away from it, which I did.
Bye.
And what was the event who made that you start again?
I think I needed the money. And I didn't want to get a proper job. So. yeah, that's basically what I did.
But were the idea again in music at the same time?
I think I found it hard at the start, but eventually once it started, you know, sometimes when you experience that sort of blockage, that sort of mental barrier to doing anything, the only way to approach it is just ignore the fact that you're not enjoying it, not that you think what you're writing is rubbish, and just sort of keep going until eventually, you know, it starts to make sense and it starts to come together and it can work. But it requires a different sort of approach, because it's not a sort of a necessarily very, very happy experience, you know. Sometimes you can start writing a song or start writing a piece of music, everything's going well and it seems really easy and it's, you know, put your feet up and everything just works and it's really nice. But the other side to it is that you can actually, just by sort of pushing yourself, sometimes you can sort of break the barrier. And I think that's sort of what I did. And I guess one of the first things that I did, which was quite a different thing, was to write some music for a series of experimental films that were made by a New Zealand filmmaker called Len Lai, who started in the 1920s, and he did a lot of quite abstract, very impressive looking films. He used to, you know, paint on the film, scratch the film, and make these patterns which would sort of be moving around, and it was long before any sort of digital applications that sort of make that kind of thing a lot easier to do. So everything was very, you know, he did every frame by hand, and so I saw these films, and some of those films had music that he'd recorded or taken from records and applied to those films, but I didn't use the music that he picked as inspiration for the music that I wrote for them. So I watched them once with the sound, and then just from then on turned the sound off and started writing. And then we basically toured around Australia. We came to we did a show in Berlin. We played in Paris at the Cartier Foundation. We played at a festival in Toulouse. Played in the Austrian Film Museum. Sort of really unusual venues, different types of venues to do, apart from doing the sort of more standard rock venues. And I just started to, you know, write a lot around that time, and things just started to move again in the last few years, really.
It doesn't rain, but it pours. Sugi Sacha makes dough. Then it hauls on the floor in my ear.
killed my cigarette cat.
When you start really to record again album for you?
Not all that long ago, really, just a little while ago. I can't remember exactly when I started Gene Lee and the Yellow Dog, but that's the most recent studio recording that I've done. And that's sort of how I got into that album. Was that I'd read the biography of Jean Lee, who was the last woman hanged in Australia, and I thought that I would make an opera out of that story, and that's how the album started, basically.
And then you build a band.
Yeah, basically.
And now today you are in duo with Geoffrey.
With Geoffrey, sorry?
Now, today, you are playing with Geoffrey in duo.
Yeah, that's right. We're touring at the moment, and we started off doing some shows, I think, 2 years ago as a duo, and then the band sort of got bigger as we started doing more shows, and but because we haven't played as a duo in Europe, we thought we'd start at the beginning here too.
And now, when are you trying with the guitar?
Well, it's something that I guess it's sort of it's just a development of what I've been doing for a long time. Especially when there aren't very many people in the band, then the guitar becomes the orchestra again. So it's, in some ways, it's quite similar to what I was doing when I started with the Saints. It's where the guitar is everything, and even though it's kind of different to what I was doing with the Saints, it does put the guitar back into that position of prominence, because when the guitar is like that, there isn't very much room for anybody else, basically. And I've been touring Australia. We have many different lineups, and sometimes we play as a two piece, sometimes as a three piece, sometimes as a four piece, or even up to an eight piece or seven piece. And the interesting thing is that the more people you sort of add into it, the more you have to kind of reduce the guitar, so because it's just not enough room for everything to happen all the time. So it's good to do both. But I guess it's cheaper to tour when it's only the two of us.
But you are using a lot of effects too for the guitar, what I heard yesterday.
Well, I use some things. I use some. It's not as many effects as you think. A lot of it is actually in the playing and in the tuning of the guitar is what gives the sound. The effects that I use are simple. It's just basically a little bit of delay, just stereo delay. I hardly use anything else.
And you told me you were trying to make your own sound.
Oh yeah, sure. But that's not an effect. That's something else.
Explain me the machine.
Oh, it's this old unit, which is a sort of has a nice function where you can kind of design your own instrument in it, and so I can change the body of the guitar, the size of the body, and whether it's sort of made of metal or whether it's made of timber. I mean, it's all a virtual sort of, it's a simulation of that. It's not, but it kind of works in a bizarre sort of way. And if you play around with it enough, you can get some quite unique sounds with it. Which I've got a worked on it a little bit, and I think I have a few sounds that are reasonably unique, and it's good. I won't publicize the instrument, because when I started using it, I approached the company for sponsorship and they declined, so fuck them.
It's the last word?
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you, Ed.
My pleasure, Annie. And a cigarette?
Yes.
Well, everything I got belongs to you. I don't care who's wrong or right, I just start another fire, and you get yours. Can't you see? You always get your comeuppance with me. Well, time has proved I'm chillish and I'm rude, and I find a real contentment in bad moods. And because it's all true, there's nothing to do.
Hope you are under the charm like me, but it's the end of the show. Don't be sad, there will be a part 4 in a few weeks. In fact, I recorded another interview at L'Olympia in Paris with Ed Cooper, but that time I was not alone. I added to my team another Sense and Ed Cooper's fan, Eric Dessier, who hosts every 2 weeks a rock show called Place aux Fous Musiques on Radio Libertaire, a national French radio for the Anarchist Federation. It will air that interview July 25th, but we agreed together to give you some great news right now. Especially for my American listener, I know you are a lot, thank you for that. And we decided to give you a kind of teaser of that interview in this podcast. And another great information, Ed Cooper produced under his own label, Prince Molon Record, a new live album with Jeffrey Wegener. You can order that album directly to Ed Cooper, myspace.com/Ed Cooper.
You can react to that podcast on my website www.meltingpot.com. Bye, tschüss, au revoir, à la prochaine fois, and stay connected with Melting Pot. Okay, today we are June 9th, we are in Paris with
me, Ed Cooper.
And
Eric Tessier de Radio Libertaire 89.4 pour Place aux Fous Musique.
And Ed Cooper, what are you doing here in Paris?
Ed Cooper, qu'est-ce que vous faites ici à Paris?
I'm doing a show at the Olympia.
Je fais un concert, je donne un concert à l'Olympia.
And you are playing with?
Et tu joues avec?
With Jeffrey Wagner.
And?
Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
And we just heard the sound check, and there was other musician on stage.
Martin Casey and Warren Ellis from the Bad Seeds are joining us tonight.
Oui, donc tu as demandé si, enfin que tu as dit on vient d'écouter la balance et il y avait d'autres musiciens qui se sont joints à toi. Donc oui, effectivement, il y a deux musiciens des Bad Seeds, un violoniste et un bassiste, qui viendront jouer ce soir pendant le concert.
And what are your projects for the year 2008 after this European tour?
Et quels sont tes projets pour cette année 2008 après cette tournée européenne?
At the moment, we're looking at touring in America with the Bad Seeds in September and October. And the other thing that I'm doing is doing the second part of the Gene Lee concept. And to try to develop that into, firstly, a theatrical performance with other singers playing the characters. And then eventually we hope to turn it into a full opera and film.
Hi, I'm Jeffrey Wagner, drummer with Ed Cooper. We're in Berlin. And you're listening to Melting Pod out of Marseille. We're here with Annie in Berlin having a great time. Cheers.